Welcome to KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. A Facebook video shows you clearly saying something that you didn't say. Another video shows a world leader saying something explosive that they didn't say. Are we ready for that threat?
We are not ready for this threat.
Okay, so what are we doing about it? We'll tell you in about 10 minutes. I hope you can stay tuned. First, though, our top story today. Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson announced yesterday he's leading a lawsuit in 8 states and the District of Columbia to block a court action that would let people download plans for untraceable 3D printed weapons. This lawsuit is being filed in federal court in Seattle. Here's Bob Ferguson at the news conference.
The Trump administration recently chose to give access to potentially untraceable and undetectable firearms to any felon, domestic abuser, or terrorist with a laptop and access to a 3D printer.
My next guest thinks that's an exaggerated concern. Lara Smith is national spokesperson for the Liberal Gun Club. Also, we're joined by Hannah Shearer, attorney and Second Amendment specialist at the Giffords Law Center. The center tried to get a federal court to block the release of those gun printing blueprints. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you for having me.
Lara, what is Bob Ferguson getting wrong about a company publishing blueprints to, as he says, download untraceable guns?
Well, I think the first thing that they're getting wrong is that this isn't new technology. If you Google zip gun on the internet, you'll find out that you can go to Home Depot and for about $10 make a single shot 22 weapon from things you can buy there any day. If criminals wanted to use this technology, it's been there forever and they can use it. So the idea that suddenly that because we have 3D printers that there's this whole new technology that this is a new thing is ridiculous. As a matter of fact, zip guns were a huge issue in the 1950s. This isn't new. And it's also not new because these weapons, this idea of the zip gun and untraceable weapons, well, they're actually legal under federal law, and they have been since 1968. There's a federal law that says so long as you're not selling them and so long as the weapon has metal in what's called the receiver, which is actually the regulated part of the firearm, you can own and manufacture these at home so long as you're not a prohibited person.
Okay, so let's start there. That we'll have more to say, but thank you, Lara. Let me just bounce that part of it off of my guest, Hannah Shearer. Hannah, this is existing technology and it's legal.
Well, the part that's new is that people can assemble plastic guns, and those aren't going to be picked up by many metal detectors at government buildings, courthouses, and other sensitive places.
Well, Lara just said there would have to be metal in the receiver.
Right.
Okay. One at a time. Let me let Hannah finish her sentence, and then Lara will get back to you.
Well, under current law, the metal component doesn't need to be an integral part of the firearm that can't be removed. So it would be easy to get around that law. It hasn't been updated to reflect the current danger.
Okay, Lara, the removable metal piece, right? So how is that enforceable?
So you'd have to actually be assembling the firearm in the courthouse because there always has to be a metal piece. It's kind of an understanding of how firearms work. There has to be a firing pin. There has to be something that hits the round. Plus, you have to get the round in through the metal detector, and it's always going to be metal. Firearms fire metal rounds. They're going to pick that up. Otherwise, it's just a piece of plastic.
Let me talk about plastic. You had mentioned, Lara, that it is plastic and that guns get hot. Is that an issue for you?
It is. And essentially it renders these things nothing more than plastic zip guns. And a zip gun is essentially an improvised firearm. And most people in the firearms world are looking at these. They're not downloading these plans to be a usable firearm. They're more a novelty. And because really, if you fired more than one round out of this thing, you would melt it.
Okay.
It's very hot when you fire it. The way a firearm works is it's a controlled explosion, and the explosion, the concentration of gas in the barrel is what pushes the projectile out of a firearm. That's how they work. And so that little explosion still has to happen, and it's going to melt any of the plastics out there. So this idea that all of a sudden we have this semi-automatic multiple round sort of magic thing that fires something without explosive that doesn't get hot. That's just not the reality of what these are.
Okay, Hannah, got a plastic printable weapons as novelty.
That's simply not true. In 2013, people were able to print a plastic gun that fired 9 bullets. So this, I mean, and the technology has only gotten better since then. I mean, it's nice to imagine that this is never going to be able to do harm, but that's not true. And, you know, the other thing is that there's plastic bullets are being developed, and a single round can get through a metal detector without setting it off. So this is a concern, and, you know, there's no reason not to regulate these weapons. It makes it harder to enforce existing gun laws that everybody agrees are a good idea, like those that prevent criminals and domestic abusers from possessing firearms.
And there is some agreement on some gun regulation that we can talk about. This is not just a complete, pro-con opposition. But, Lara, I want to play just briefly. This is the concern of a retired Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives special agent named David Shipman speaking to CBS News.
I guarantee you 5-10 years from now, this is going to be a real threat to public safety.
So to Hannah's point, what about in 10 years, couldn't 3D gun technology get better and more lethal?
It could, but that technology already exists. And most people use the technology that's out there for metal because it works and it's cheaper. And it's going to remain cheaper. And one of the things that people aren't concentrating on it is that we already have all of these laws. Those are the laws we need to be enforcing, because the reality is that it's much easier for a criminal in the world we live in right now to go buy an actual good functioning firearm illegally, which those are the laws which we already have on the books. Let's start funding stopping that. Let's give the ATF more funding to enforce those laws. Let's work on things that are actually a real threat out there, because these 3D firearms just really aren't that big a threat and don't work in the way that people seem to think they do.
And Hannah, isn't another issue that this is, we're talking about not just the weapon, but the ability of this company to publish information. I mean, isn't that a First Amendment protected speech?
Well, they're not publishing information. They're not just publishing a book about 3D printing your own guns. They're publishing code that can automatically, you know, be used with a 3D printer to print a weapon. And so that's very different, and it doesn't enjoy the same First Amendment protections that just expressive content would. And I really think, like, what we're talking about is not introducing a new loophole into our laws. Like, even, you know, assuming that this isn't a big threat right now, which I don't agree with, we need to make sure that going forward it doesn't become a huge threat.
Well, my response to that is, it is actually First Amendment. It's data. You're publishing data. And the laws already exist that say if you're a criminal, you can't use this. You're not allowed to own these firearms already. So we have the legal protection out there that, you know, says, hey, look, this is the reasonable restriction on your First Amendment right for the data. But the other thing that people forget is that owning a gun is, you know, a case just came down in the Ninth Circuit, which covers Washington, that says that the right to bear arms, it's not only the right to bear arms in your house. There's a right to bear arms in public. There is a right to own firearms, so long as you are a legally permitted person to do so. There's more than one civil right here. And this is one of the things the Liberal Gun Club talks about a lot, is that we really believe that people are entitled to their civil rights, so long as they are not legally prohibited from having those. And so to say, well, you can't have this, even though there's no good legal reason for you not to, because it's a protected right, that's where you start getting into issues. It's both amendments.
Hannah, you want to respond to that?
Well, the Second Amendment certainly is not absolute. It doesn't protect all types of weapons. You don't have a Second Amendment right to possess machine guns or grenades. You know, it has limitations. And I think, you know, every piece of evidence we have about 3D printed guns is that, you know, they're going to be untraceable. They can potentially get through metal detectors. This isn't something that enjoys Second Amendment protection.
Yeah, Lara, what about untraceable? Our King County prosecutor, Dan Satterberg, calls 3D printed guns ghost gun technology. They don't have serial numbers that police can track, do they?
Well, so ghost guns are improvised weapons. And ghost guns, again, these are not new. So there's this whole thing called an 80% lower. You can go on the internet, and you have been able to forever, and you can buy what's called an 80% lower. Now, they're metal, and you can go, and you can drill holes into them, and you can make the lower receiver for any five. For AR-15s are the most common. But it's very easy to go buy these and do this. You're not allowed to sell them. It's not legal. You're not allowed to possess them if you're already a felon or a domestic violence, but you have a domestic violence conviction. All the federal restrictions apply. But ghost gun technology is not new. This technology has been out on the internet for forever. The only thing that's new is suddenly there's this idea that these 3D printed guns, which frankly aren't very good technology, are suddenly creating ghost guns as this new idea. Ghost guns, meaning unregistered firearms, have been out there. Now, I'm not saying I agree with this, but California actually already looked at this issue. And California said, well, you know what? We think it's a constitutional problem to ban unregistered firearms. So what we are going to say people can do is if you're going to make one of these, you have a certain amount of time and you have to actually go get a registration number from us to own this gun. And otherwise, then it becomes a felony. That is a much less restrictive idea than, hey, you can't publish this information at all. Information which has been out there for decades.
Okay, Hannah, there's a few points there. Lara is saying criminals can't own printed 3D printer guns, that you can't sell them, and that we could require the registration of them. What do you say?
Well, I actually agree with her that this is a pre-existing problem. It's a loophole that exists under current law that people can assemble guns in their own home from receivers, and I don't think the answer is to say that we want to introduce another loophole. I think that the solution here is to look at both issues. There's no reason that anybody should assemble a gun themselves, if they're lawfully able to possess one. And so I don't think this is like a Second Amendment issue at all. I think it's about public safety and weapons that were assembled at home have been used to perpetrate mass shootings, including most recently in California.
Lara, yeah, I mentioned some things that you agree on. You support background checks, but how would we enforce background checks for a printed gun that there's no gun store to run the check?
So this is exactly what California created, right? This idea that you have to register. There are some problems with the California scheme, but in the idea of this, sure, we would have that as a much less restrictive means than, oh, by the way, you can't print this. But I do have to say one thing. It's not a loophole to be able to print a gun. It's actually legal in the federal code. It's a specific law that says you're allowed to do this. It's not a loophole in an existing law that lets you do it. So I just want to make sure that's clear. And
let me pause there. Just for that, you're saying you want to make that clear, Hannah. Are we agreed there or not that this is specifically allowed, the 3D guns, printed guns?
I'm not sure I can speak to that, but I think that it would be a mistake to say that because we're not concerned about 3D printed guns that they're actually going to work, that criminals are going to assemble them, that we shouldn't regulate them. That's what I was trying to convey.
Okay. Lara, the idea that we could require registration and criminals can't own 3D printer guns, even if it's true in theory, do you have any concerns that in practice it's just it's getting so much easier because of technology and now 3D printer technology that we could hope that people obey those selling and owning and registering laws, but boy, that's getting hard to enforce.
No, actually, I don't think it's the existence of the new technology. I think the problem is underfunding of the enforcement mechanisms we already have and lack of enforcement for mechanisms we already have. And that's one of the things, root cause mitigation. If we can get to the underlying problems here, look, the ATF has a mandate to take guns from criminals, to put people who have guns illegally into jail. And it almost never happens because they literally don't have the money to go after individuals. It was a huge issue in California with the new laws that passed here saying, hey, you have to go get these guns from domestic abusers. And literally all the courts and sheriff's department said, with what money? If we're going to look at funding, let's look at enforcing the laws we have. We have so many laws that are actually focused on keeping the criminals from getting firearms. There's so many easier ways for them than going out and trying to 3D print something that doesn't work very well, that let's focus on that instead of trying to restrict the rights of law-abiding citizens.
Hannah, is that an area we can agree on? More money for enforcement, keeping guns away from domestic abusers, for example?
Yes, I certainly support the idea that ATF needs more funding to enforce existing law, but I also think we have to listen to law enforcement who are saying, you know, 3D printed guns is opening up a whole new can of worms for them. And you know, it may be that even with more funding, they're not able to go after untraceable guns. And I really don't think that this is a theoretical problem. 3D printed guns have been recovered from organized crime in Los Angeles, for example. So, it's easy to just be in denial and say that these aren't going to be used, but I don't think that's what law enforcement experts think.
Okay, we'll see how this lawsuit proceeds. Again, Washington State's Attorney General is leading a lawsuit in 8 states and the District of Columbia to block a court action letting people download plans for these 3D printed weapons. I want to thank our two guests, Hannah Shearer, attorney and Second Amendment specialist at the Giffords Law Center, and Lara Smith, national spokesperson for the Liberal Gun Club. Thanks to both of you for educating us, giving us a couple different perspectives on 3D printer guns. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.